Number 3A.
I was bringing up the prophet Ezekiel for that very purpose, that he is symbolizing really that axis of world history where something in the spiritual realm happened of great importance, namely to bring thought away from, not away, but to bring thought along the seven and incorporate into the seven and intertwine into the seven, interweave into the seven, always the four, so that the solution of a problem is a solution that takes place within the framework of the seven and the four. Whereas up to Ezekiel, the main accent was put on the seven. See, Ezekiel was the one who, in the Babylonian captivity, could see the way out of that situation. He, not like Jeremiah was telling, well, you have to go down into Babylonian captivity, that's what the Lord wants you to do, and so on. Ezekiel was the one who said, well, you are now down in Babylon, but that's not the purpose of your life. The purpose is that I rescue you from Babylon and bring you back into your own land. And in order to do that, he gives a terrific picture that that is a matter of the seven and the four. He really shows, as I said, right from the beginning, that with the very first tone of mind, where he shows mind first, that with a vision of mind, one has to analyze the situation. That was the very first thing. You have to analyze that situation, but you have to analyze that situation through the fourfold way of the divine calculus, that you have to analyze from the vision of Word, Christ, Christianity, and science, what is really happening. And so he goes further then to a second subject of spirit, where he says, now you have to make your separation between spirit and matter in the days of creation. But he makes this difference between really the spiritual calculus and the material calculus. And then he goes to a third one and shows, after analyzing and uncovering, he can annihilate really the false calculus with the divine calculus. But how? And then comes a great point when he touches the fourth subject of principle, and he begins to show really that we need a system of ideas if we want to solve a situation. It's not enough to analyze and uncover and annihilate a false sense, but you also need to do so a system. So he presents there, in principle, the system of it. He takes the four. He really shows how those four living creatures become suddenly the four cherubims, which is a much higher sense that the creatures are crawling around, becomes the cherubims, the angels that are already in heaven, and so begins to show that without the system that is established in the divine principle, really mind, spirit, and soul has no power. But with the divine system, it has power. And so he says, if you have that divine system, then he comes to the fifth subject and says, then you can restore Israel. Then all the wrongs that have been done in Israel, the wrongs of the kings, the corruption of the judges, the corruption of everybody, of the Levites and the priests and so on, that must be corrected. But with the system, you can correct that. And so shows how he will re-establish, so to say, restore Israel to its old place. And then he sees in the sixth subject that this can be done if we wed really our spiritual sense with the calculus sense. It's not enough to have the elements of the seven and the four as dry bones. He comes to the valley of the dry bones, and those dry bones lie around there and don't do anything. until he sees. But if you put the spirit of the living creatures in the dry bones, into the elements of better physics, then he shows that then bone comes to bone. And so bone came to bone and began to live. And so gave a sense, now the spiritual man is established, and not only a concept of man that is constituted of elements of metaphysics. So that the seven and the four are brought together into a living one system, and then bone came to bone, and then the whole valley of dry bones became alive. Just as our valley of dry bones, sometimes our life of dry bones should come alive and should have more pap in it. And then he says, then you got it. Then you say, he says, as the seventh picture, he sees the city four square. So remember, the city four square is not something new in the revelation of St. John. Ezekiel was writing many chapters, I think about 8 or 9 chapters, about that lost stone of love, depicting really that city four square and its temple, and shows that it is a city built without hands, a spiritual city, that it is a city that has a law in it, and that law that rules that city is called Most Holy. Again, you see, he takes it out of the material laws into the spiritual laws, into the divine laws, and the name of that city, he says, that name of that city is called The Lord is Here. And that is the final point. Can you see how he shows that he can bring Israel with all its sins and all its negative characteristics, sitting right down in Babylon in captivity, that he can bring them out, not only out, but he can restore what they have lost and bring them right to the top, to the city of our God, where he can say, the Lord is here. It is really that point which we should also entertain, because St. John then starts right away with the Logos, where God is here. That's then his starting point, but not his final point. So what interested me in going through the Bible and seeing which categories were introduced and where they were introduced. And so repeating quickly, we could see that in the historical books of Moses and including also Joshua and Judges and Ruth, that in those historical books, the seven was predominant. First the seven as such, then the seven with the subtones, then the seven reflecting all the seven by seven, until then up to really Samuel, and he shows one in a wonderful way the way we can become rise from the shepherd boy to be king in Israel, that we only have to understand the seven by seven in order to take on our kingship attitude. But then suddenly turns. Then with the prophet, somehow the calculus begins to come in. And they first show, like Isaiah first shows the word order and the Christ order, the Christianity order, but not the science order. And only afterwards Ezekiel comes and says, something is missing in Isaiah. I give you the whole cake. I show you the seven, and I show you that the seven has within itself the dynamics of the four. So always those four comes up and up and up. Then, after Ezekiel, we have Zechariah. And Zechariah is the very first one then who shows the four orders in his prophecy. He shows first the word order, then the Christ order, then the Christianity order, and the science order through the seven synonymous terms. He's the very first one who does that. Then after him comes Daniel, and he shows again the four, and he shows that he is being used by the fool. You know, he then, whereas Zechariah has a vision. He still has a vision of the four orders. But Daniel goes in life through those four, and he experiences those four, and goes through the fire, and goes through the lion's den and everything, and proves that those four are right. And then what happens afterwards? Then comes the New Testament. Now, the moment you come to the New Testament, it is as if the seven would take a minor position, and that the main position is then put on the four. See, can you think with me quickly in a hierarchical, structural way without having any diagram before you? What is that Bible telling us? That Bible in the Old Testament shows in the historical book the Word, the Law, and then the prophets, the Christ. Then comes the cut to the New Testament, and comes Christianity with the New Testament. And at the end of it, Revelation, a little bit of science, but afterwards the textbook as science. So the Bible and the textbook together in a big line, in the highest hierarchical order or level, shows really the four. That's the main point, not so much the seven. Namely, the Word, the Law, the Christ, the prophets, Christianity, the New Testament, and science, then Revelation plus science and health. Now, within that high level, there is a lower level you can take and can see if, for instance, we only take the New Testament, only the New Testament. Again, you see the New Testament has four big sections. So in a kind of a secondary level, you have first the four Gospels telling about the Jesus, a statement about Jesus that was coming, the Word. Then you have the Acts of the Apostle, the Christ activity. Then you have the Epistles, which show, so to say, the manual for people, how they should live, and according to which rules they should live. They are the Epistles. And then finally, you have a fourth part, and that is then the Revelation. So again, you have four. If you take even a smaller sub level, see, structuring always a little bit more, what do we have when we go to the Gospels? The Gospels are four Gospels. Why not only one? They had to be shown in four sides, because the city has four sides, the calculus has four sides. You can't be, so Matthew showed Jesus from the point of view of the Word, Mark from the point of view of the Christ, Luke from the point of view of Christianity, and St. John from the point of view of science. Yes? Or even if we go further and take, for instance, the epistles, you know, from the epistle book, that the 16 epistles are showing the 4x4. They even elaborate on that and show the 4x4. So more and more one can see the nearer the Bible goes away from the Old Testament, since Ezekiel and Zechariah and Daniel, and comes nearer to the New Testament. Really, the New Testament is stressing the fourfold calculus. As we said, what would it be of any use if you would just learn the 10 digits, nothing but the 10 digits, and would not learn addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division? We couldn't do much with those 10 digits. So the accent shifts more and more to the four, and that is what should happen also, so to say, in our consciousness, that for a very long time we were culturing the seven. We are culturing first, and I look back, the very first thing we were seeing, or John Dolly showed us, was the 7 days of creation. And for years we were studying the 7 days of creation. We didn't have anything else. Or we were studying the third degree with the seven qualities in the third degree for a year or two, and so on. And only little, and naturally over years and years, the seven synonymous terms, studying what are the ideas characterizing mind, what characterizing spirit, and so on. It was quite a long study and research and devotion just to the seven, because we didn't know more than that. We are not aware of more than that. And then slowly, John Dolly began to see the four. So to say, he was forced to see the four, because he was telling so much about the seven in the word order that the critics came and said, but there are other orders of the seven. And so he could see, oh yes, there are. What is the difference? And began to see, well, the difference is that those seven synonymous terms are either be seen through the word order, or through the Christ order in the translation, or through Christianity order, or through the science order. So again, you see something which I always want to stress out. What is true universally is always true individually. If in the universal development over thousands of years, the spiritual idea has, in this case, developed from the seven to the four and then to the levels, the individual has to develop that way too. His individual consciousness has to develop that way too, or it is out of order. Without the seven synonymous terms, the four sides of the holy city doesn't make sense. Without the seven synonymous terms, the four sides of world, Christ, Christianity, and science, the four levels of science don't make sense. So there is order in it. And that's what naturally is so distinctive in the Gospel of St. John, that while the other Gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, were much more showing the person of Jesus, what he did, what he accomplished, the Gospel of St. John shows the way of understanding that Jesus went, and that something else. He isn't so much concerned about Jesus himself as much more about the way of understanding that he showed, and showed that your way of understanding. So you know the way, he said. So go the way. So we arrive today at that point where we have the Christian Science textbook, and where the Christian Science textbook is shown in the four again, but in the 4x4. You have the matrix of the 16 chapters depicting really that wonderful matrix of science, which is different naturally from what John the Revelator, or John the Gospel writer, showed. So at this point we can see that we have arrived somehow again at the climax, at the zenith of spiritual development, that perhaps has started with Ezekiel and found now in the textbook its scientific statement in its clarity and in its modern language of abstract ideas. Yes. So again we see another point where we feel this is a point where we have to give all our attention to it. And so when we go through the Gospel of John, we'll see that the Gospel of John actually does not make much out of the seven synonymous terms. Very seldom he would use an order, the word order, just once. Once he uses the Christianity order, or twice, and so on. But most of the text is really bringing us forward and say, actually the future, the textbook, that which he promised, that which he said will come, that will be the comforter, will be the 4x4. And the textbook is the 4x4, and the sevenfold development within a chapter is secondary then. Okay, I take up another subject. And that is, I would like to take up the subject how really we come to the textbook. If we have been considering St. John, just pondering St. John over a few years and loving it and being touched by it, I think I've seen in the last 2 years that I would say that no other subject I have been teaching up to now has made such changes in the students as St. John. I could see that, especially also at home, where we were giving 2 years deep thought in classes on the subject, that it wasn't just a matter of learning a new subject, but that one really could feel that being engaged with the spirit of that subject, that it changed the character, the nature of the students, as I think no other subject that I have been talking about could achieve, which surprised me. Which surprised me, why? Because I felt that science and health, which I was teaching over years and years and years and years and writing about it, is of a higher caliber, is more progressive, and therefore should accomplish actually more than the earlier writings. There were 2,000 years in between, and 2,000 years in between should really have brought to the general consciousness of mankind a higher sense of the spiritual idea and a more exact sense, that the textbook is written in a language that uses exact terminology and not just crude symbols as the Bible had to use, because they didn't have any other terminology. So in a way, I was always a bit surprised about this. And I finally could see what happened. I could see that when we read the Bible, then we feel the truth. Whereas if we read the textbook, we have to know and understand the truth. And naturally, the feeling of the truth is something that sinks in easier, because we like the feeling of truth. We come from a Christian tradition, and that Christian tradition is innate in us, and therefore we are touched much more by the feel of Christianity than by the more progressive sense of the science of Christianity. So, in a sense, we should be aware that we have not quite understood our textbook, or else it would have even bigger impact on us than John's Gospel had on us. What then is the difference? So, let's perhaps quickly see what the difference may be between John as the climax of biblical history and writing and the textbook. In the Bible, in John, he's really depicting the man Jesus, Christianity, operating as a scientist. That's why he is at the point of Christianity as science. As the textbook is always at the point of science as science, not as Christianity as science. The textbook shows science as science. Namely, the textbook shows no more how a human being should be using science. Jesus was using science. The textbook shows really that science interprets itself as a science. That one being interprets himself as what he is. That's the high point of the textbook. And not so much really showing how we use it. On the very opposite, it should show how the one principle uses us. It isn't so much that, as in John, we should live the divine principle, but the textbook shows that the divine principle lives us, that the divine principle is our life. It is not so much as in the Gospel where Jesus showed how he demonstrated really science. It's much more in the textbook to show that science demonstrates itself. And so we get a much higher sense of those two books. And that is what I perhaps would like to show, that after having studied carefully and devotedly the Gospel of St. John, that we now have to find a bridge that preaches over from one shore to the next shore, from St. John over to the shore of the textbook, and see that we go forward, that we don't stay back 2,000 years ago, though naturally those truths are still truths, but they are on a different level. They show Christianity as science, whereas the textbook shows science as being a science. So that we have to see the great difference between those two attitudes, because it's up to us then to see which attitude do we want to take. Do we want to go back to 2,000 years ago and see, well, religion is really that which I can use for my purposes, or do I go forward to the Christian Science textbook, which Mrs. Eddy says will be understood in two or three centuries, will be understood. Am I going to look forward to the textbook and see what is the different standpoint that the textbook takes compared with what in the 5,000 year John was taking? Did I put the proposition rightly? Huh? It's a question that we have to ask. It's a natural question which came up in my mind, not so much in others' mind, because I was so enthused with St. John. It gave me so much. It gave me so much more insight, and I think it gave me quite a different attitude also towards life and towards the future. So that I said, but how on earth is it so, when really the most modern, the highest teaching actually is the textbook? So what's the difference? So we want to consider a little bit the difference.